Yesterday, we started discussing the issue of taxing the Rabbanan. We saw in the bow tie from Daf Zayin Amud Beis, Rav Yehuda placed a tax on the Rabbanan, and he absorbed the objection of the two Rabbanan in diamonds, Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan, as you can see vertically with the markings. They suggested that from Sukkim you see that Talmidei Chachamim don't require the outcome of the taxation, and in this case it was taxation for municipal walls. Continuing in the spirit of taxation, on the third line from the top of Daf Ches Amud Aleph, Rav Chonon bar Rav Chisda Roma Kargo Arabonon. He placed a tax known as Kargo on the Rabbanan. Amalei Rav Nachmon bar Yitzchok. He is about to start a long point. It's referenced by the Nun, a Nekuda. Nekuda is a point, a long point. You can see it lasts quite a few lines. Before we get into that, we'll look at the side at our Nosei, our topic introduction. And it says, Shitas Rav Nachmon Yitzchok Hamatil Kargo, Kesef Gulgalta, it's a head tax. Kargo, a head tax. Al Talmidei Chachomim Over Adoraisa Adinavi Vadiksuvi. He violates psukim that are found in the Torah, the prophets, and the ksuvim. And that's what he says. Omar Le Rav Nachmon Bar Yitzchok Avris, you violated Adoraisa Adinavi Vadiksuvi. What we've done in our marked edition of the Shas Ozer, you can see as you scan down a 1 with a word underlined, 2 and 3. You see Adoraisa, and then further down Adinavi, and further Adiksuvi, and that's the point at which the Gemara introduces the psukim that Rav Nachmon made reference to. Adoraisa, the Gemara says, Dichtiv, Af Chovev Amim, Kol Kedoshov Biodecha. Omar Moshe Lefnei Kodesh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shel Olam, Afilu B'Shoa Shata Mechabev Amim. Even at moments in history that you show endearment to the Goyim, Kol Kedoshov Yu Biodecha. We'll take a look at Rashi, the third line from the top, Kol Kedoshov Shel Yisrael Biodecha Heim, L'Shomron, that all of your holy ones, namely the Jewish people, should be under your guard. So Kodesh Baruch Hu watches the Jewish people. V'heim tuku l'raglecha, it's a continuation of that pasuk. Tani Rav Yosef, Elu Talmidei Chachomim. Shemekatesim raglehem, ir le'irmi b'nina dina, l'mo Torah. They, mekatesim, as if to say they smash their legs, they walk, they trouble themselves to travel from city to city, from country to country, in order to learn Torah. Yisa midabro sechos, also from the pasuk, hence it's in quotation marks. Lisa v'litein b'diburosav shel mokom, that they're involved in the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what do we see from this pasuk? That those who are engaged in the study of Torah are under the protection of Hashem, so there's no need to tax them for the purposes of protection. Adinavi, there's a violation of what's found in Sefer the Treosar, the prophet Hoshea. Dichtiv, Gam ki yitnu ba goyim, ato akabseim, vayochelu ma'ot mi maso melech v'sarim. That's the posuk. As far as a literal translation of posuk, there are ways of achieving that, but for our purposes, we continue in the Gemara to see what exactly is emphasized. Omar Ula, posuk ze beloshen aramis ne'mar. We should appreciate the posuk in Aramaic. The third word of the pasuk was yitnu. Said there, gam ki yitnu bagoyim. What is yitnu in Aramaic? It comes from the word like tnan or toni. Mishnah is masnisin, same shoresh. It has to do with learning. So, as we are going to learn as follows. E tonu kulhu. If all of Klal Yisrael is involved with the learning of Torah, Rashi adds something that's very important, not just kulam, but he says v'chein ruban, even if 51% of the Jewish people are involved with Torah learning, ato akabseim, I would ingather them immediately, I'd bring the geula immediately. The in ma'at mehem, if, however, a minority of the Jewish people are involved with Torah learning, yechalu mimaso melech v'sorim. The word yechalu would mean they stop. They're botel from financial obligations to kings and ministers. Once again, the idea of once you have people that are learning, those people involved with learning of Torah, they don't have an obligation to pay taxes. Again, we must qualify what kind of taxes. Up till now, we've been talking about taxes for protection purposes, defense budgets, municipal walls. We'll see more on this topic as we go on. But it is very, very important to note that the redemption of the Jewish people hinges on Torah learning. So that every one of us who are involved with Torah learning, it would be advisable to try to spread the Torah to others, so maybe we can achieve this level of role of Klal Yisrael involved with Torah learning. We'll say more about this, Amir Tzashem, a little later. Adiksuvi, also one who we said the one who taxes the Rabbanon violates that which it says in the Ksuvim, Bichtiv. Posuk is an Aramaic, in Aramaic, it's from Sefer Ezra. Mindo b'lo v'haloch lo shalit lemirmei aleihom. The Yomar of Yudah. He'll explain that the words of the Posuk, Mindo, b'lo, and haloch, and we have them dot underlined, the dashed underlined words, those are from the Posuk. They're names of different taxes. Mindo zu menas hamelech, a portion of the king. Blo zu kesef gulgolta, head tax. Valoch zu arnona, another type of tax. And so it says in this pasuk that lo shalit, at the end of the pasuk it had said, lo shalit lemir me'aleon, it won't be placed upon them. Again, those who are learning Torah are not expected to pay these taxes. Rav Papa, Roma, kario chadito ayasmi. He placed a type, we'll call it a tax, for digging new wells, fresh water supplies. Rashi explains, Kari Achadata, Yitzias Krias Be'er Mayim Chaim Lishtos. So he placed the expenditures of this effort on Yisoymim, that the Yisoymim would have to pay this for this effort. Amalei Rav Shisha Breder Avidi Rav Papa, Vedilma Lo Midvil. You might hire workers to go seek fresh water wells, but they'll dig and dig and won't find anything. What's the problem with that? If they don't find anything, and the Yisoymim meantime have paid money, Yisoymim, they're arketanim, they're youngsters, they're under bar mitzvah. They don't have the capability of being mocheil. So that it's a type of, we'll call it in general sense, a type of money taken illegally. You've taken money from them, it didn't yield results, and they're not mocheil on the fact that they let's say, paid for the efforts only. It's gedolim, so people say, okay, I paid, and I understood that if it doesn't yield, so it's lost money. But Yisomim don't have that capacity. Amale, so Rav Papa, who attacks the Yisomim, explained, Mishkal Shakil Nominayu, I take the money from them. However, E Midvil Midvil, if it flows, if the water flows forth, then fine. Then they paid, then they got what they paid for. The Elo, if the digging doesn't result in finding a water supply, Mahadarno Lo Nehalayo, I'll return the money to them. Amar of Yehuda. We've emphasized with a symbol the word hakol. On the side, we indicate Noseh and Mivneh. There are two, it says they're based tashlumim on the side of our Gemara. These house figures are emphasizing two types of payments. One is called igli gapa, and the second is called karyapasya. We'll see what these are as we go in the Gemara. Amar of Yehuda, hakol, all of the population, the igli gapa. It's money paid for the city gates. Afilu miyasmi, even Yisomim are expected to contribute. Avo Rabbanon lo tzrichi netirusa. Once again, you see this expression, and we're going to see it a few times. We had seen it on Zion Amud Bey's number of lines from the bottom. And once again, Rabbanon do not need physical elements of physical protection. The Torah that they learn protects them. Hakol lekarya pasya, the Gemara goes on. This is digging pits. Pits were used to supply to store rainwater. Afilu mirabonan. Rabbonan have to contribute that. Here is a type of taxation that doesn't involve protection. Rabbonan have to drink. Everyone drinks. Even the Rabbonan drink. V'lo amoran. This idea that the Rabbonan have to contribute. Elo de lo nafki bechluza. That in that community, they don't go out in mass. Nafki is to go out in bechluza in mass. to do the actual digging. They hire a company to do the digging, and the Rabbonin pay for that work to be done along with everyone else. Avol nafki bichluza, if in that community they don't hire outsiders, rather all the members of the community go and engage in the physical digging itself, Rabbonin lav b'nei mepek bichluza ninu. The Rabbonin, it's not honorable to have sages going out with shovels and being engaged in digging. So they would be exempt from the effort, even though they'll benefit ultimately from the water that's stored in those pits. With the markings, you now see a long maisa. It's a long marking. It's in effect, there'll be two maisim here. On the outside of the page, we have a nose, and they're featured one and two. These are shnei maisim, Shebohen Me'urov Rebbe, two incidents that Rebbe is involved in. Maisa Hasheni Masbir Es Hanhogas Rebbe Barishon. The second Maisa will explain Rebbe's behavior in the first Maisa. Shebo Rebbe Lo Rotzu Lefarnes Es Amei Ha'aretz Bishnas Batzores. In that Maisa we find that Rebbe doesn't want to support the ignorant ones in the famine years. There were stocks, food stocks. And he didn't want to share that with the Amei Oretz. Betaina, with the claim, Shein Purnas Bal Yodim Elo B'Shvil Amei Oretz, that all the troubles of the world come because of the Amaratzim. So if they're the cause of the trouble, why should they be supported? Before we go too much further, it might be worthwhile for us to connect in our minds what we had seen earlier on this Amid. The posuk that we darshened in Aramaic, Gam ki itnu bagoyim, was the upper part of the page was Adenavi, underline number 2. And we said there that if the Jews are involved in learning, so we can experience Geula. And here we're about to see that troubles of the world come because of Amaratzis. The question is, how do you solve the problem of Amaratzis? So you have to know what Amaratzis is. The Gemara defines Amaratzis in Brochus and in Maseches Sota. The same Gemara asks, there Ezu Amoretz. And there are a number of deyas the Gemara brings there. The most machmir deya, if you want to like be sure of yourself, it says there, Afilu Korah Vishona, Veloshimesh Tamidi Chachomim Areza Amoretz. Even if a person is familiar with the Tanakh and with Mishnayos, but he hasn't learned Gemara, he hasn't finished the Shas, he's called an Amo Oretz. So if we're interested in, according to this approach that is being suggested, we call it a formula for bringing the Ge'ula, it would be worthwhile for us to try to get Rove of Klal Yisrael to finish the Shas and thereby extricate ourselves from the category of Amo Oretz and benefit by the promise, if you will, of Gam ki itnu bagoyim atah tabtzeim. What we've said is referenced the introduction to the pre-marked Gemaras known as the Shas Ozer edition. Continuing in the Gemara itself, we now start the long Maisa. Rebbe posach otzoros b'shnei botzoros. He opened stocks of food in the years of famine. Omar, and he declared, Yikonsu Bale Mikra Bale Mishnah Bale Gemara Bale Halocha Bale Hagoda Aval Ame Horetz Al Yikonsu. So all the people engaged in different forms of learning are welcome, but Amaratzim are not. Dochak Rabbi Yonusan Ben Amma Venichnas. And we'll find a little bit later that he pushes his way in to get a handout, but he does it incognito. Amar Lo, Rabbi Yonusan says to Rebbe, he says, Rebbe, Parnaseni. Amar Lo, Beni Karis. He says, did you learn the Tanakh? Amar Lo, Lav. He denies having studied Psukim. Shanis. So Rebbe asks him, did you learn Mishnayos? Amar Lo, Lav. No, I didn't engage in that either. So Rebbe asked him, "Came b'ma parnesecha? So on what ground should I support you?" Amar le parneseni kekelev uche'oyrev. Support me as God supports dogs and orev birds. what's unique about the Kelev and Orev? We'll take a look at Rashi. Kekelev v'chorev, shechosa kodesh boruch aleim. Kodesh boruch has mercy on them. Shneimar yodea tzadik din dalim. The pasuk says that Kodesh Boruch Hu knows the trials and tribulations of the impoverished. Lefisha kelev mizaynoisav mu'otim. We've double underlined in the Rashi to bring out kelev, and a few lines later the orev, where Rashi explains the unique features. Says the kelev is mizaynoisav mu'otim. Rashi says there's very little food available to the dog. Lefikach she'achilosav b'me'av shloishes yomim. The digestive process of the dog is very slow, so the little food that he has lasts in his system and serves as nutrition for the dog for 3 days. V'gabi orev k'siv livnei orev hasher yikro. That's a posuk that many of us say in the davening. The b'nei orev call out. What the orev chicks, if you will, the young ones, lefisha orev achzori al bonov, v'akodesh baruch hu mazmin lahem yitushin mitoch soy osan v'oichlin. These insects develop from within their waste material, and the little ones, even if their parents aren't going to support them, the Kodesh Baruch Hu through his creations in nature, they receive support anyway. So this is what Rav Yonis ben Amram says to Rebbe. Once again, I just want to remind you that he was coming incognito. And after that taina, so Rebbe couldn't refuse, parnasei, so he supported him. Boser de nofak, Yosef Rebbe become etzdayer v'yomar. After he exited the Yonis ben Amram, Rebbe had a feeling of remorse. V'yomar, oy li shenosati piti la moretz. He regretted giving food to the unlearned. Omar Lefonov, Rabbi Shimon bar Rebbe, his son, Rebbe's son, says to him, Shemo Yonison ben Amram Talmidchohu, Sheino Rotzilanus Mikovot Toiro Miyomov. Maybe that gentleman really was a scholar, but didn't want to receive any benefit through Torah. He didn't want to use Torah as his ticket, so to speak, to get benefit. And the Gemara makes reference to other gedolim in history that acted in a similar fashion. They shelo rotsu lehanos mikisra shel Torah. The Gemara explains elsewhere. Bodku v'yashkach. They checked it out and found out that in fact he was this fellow who had come incognito was in fact Yonison ben Amram, a Talmud of Rebbe, a learned person. Omar Rebbe. He heard this, and he had a change of mind. Said, "Yikonsu akol, let them all come." Maybe there are others like that. And apparently, he did some type of a cost-benefit analysis and said it's probably better for one Talmud Chacham to benefit, even though many Amoratim will be benefiting along the way. We have a semicolon here because the Gemara now says Rebbe Litame, but it's not a direct flow of what was just said. Yikonsu akol. What Gemara explains is that which Rebbe at the outset did not want to support Amei Oretz, Rebbe v'tamei, Rebbe was consistent with his own reasoning, the Omar Rebbe, Ein Puronus Bo Li'olam Elo B'Shvil Amei Oretz. Troubles come to the world only because of Amoratzis. You take this, Chazal said it, so we take it, because it says it, black on white, and we have to sort of kick ourselves whenever Tzoras come to the world. We have to kick ourselves saying, why is it that we haven't been successful in spreading Torah sufficiently? It should be a source to, this should motivate us to spread Torah as much as possible. And to prove this, so to speak, we bring a maisa. Kehu Deme Klila, like the story involving a tax that was designed to buy a crown for the king. In other words, monies were collected from the population in order to provide for a new crown for the king. And this tax, Dishodu Ataveria, was placed, they chose Taveria, the Taveria population should collect money. The government imposed this tax on that city. Osu lekame the Rebbe. V'yomru le leisfu rabbonon bahadon. The Amoratsim came to Rebbe and said, we want the rabbonon to contribute as well. We don't want to be the only ones contributing. Why shouldn't they pay also? Amar lehu lo. Rebbe said the rabbonon are not going to pay. Amru le arukinon. So they threatened and said, okay, if that be the case, we're going to leave town. We're going to move out. Amar le aroku. Rebbe was nonplussed, and he said, if you want to leave, then leave. Arku palgeon hef. The community of Amoratsim left town. And you know what happened? Dalua palga. The authorities lifted half of the amount and started charging them the full amount. They said the town has to pay half the original amount. Asu hanu hano palga kami de Rebbe. The second half, the people that remained, came in front of Rebbe, and you'd think maybe they would get the message, but no. Amrulei leisfu rabbonin badon. They said to Rebbe, we want the rabbis to pay their share. Amar lehu lo. So they said, so they threatened arukinon, we're going to leave. Rebbe said, aroku, go ahead. Arku kulhu. So Tveria became Amoritz free. Poshahu koyves. There remained one koyves, a washman who was an Amoritz. Shadua koyves. They placed the tax on him. Ara koyves. He left town. Poka klila. No more tax. Omar Rebbe, Ra'isem, Shein Puranus Bali Olam El Bishvil Ameoretz. See, the troubles come to the world only because of Amoratsim. In the Mishnah, when discussing the issue of contributing toward building the city wall, the question arose, how much time does a person have to live in a community and be considered part of the community? The Mishnah said 12 months. So we said, Yud Beis Chodesh. Gemara raises a contradiction. V'ramini, we have a Tanaic source, and in the Shas Ozer edition, the Tanaic sources are framed off. This source deals with an Ir HaNidachas. It's a community that the majority of the people engaged in Avodah Zorah. Achameres v'gamels ha'overes mimokom lemokom. Caravans that travel from place to place. Vilona b'soicha v'hutchimon. And they camped in that city. And that evening that they were camped there, they also went off and served, practiced idolatry. Hain b'skila u'mamonon polat. They're treated as an individual is treated with regard to Avodah Zorah. And the penalty for an individual as opposed to a community, he, the individual, is stoned. He receives the penalty of skila, but we don't touch his money. His money is possessions remain for his heirs. The im nishtau sham shloishim yoim. If, however, this caravan encamped there for 30 days, hain b'sayif u'mamonon avad, they receive the sayif penalty, the sayif death penalty, as opposed to skila, it's a penalty by sword, if you will, and their money is destroyed, their possessions are destroyed. What's the point for us? Whereas we're not learning right now details of Ir HaNidachas, but we are focusing on how long does it take for a person to be considered part of the community. So in this source, without too much investigation, you could see through the miracle of markings, the dot underlined expression, Shloshim Yom, indicates that 30 days is the amount of time to become part of a community, not the 12 months that was mentioned in the Mishnah. Omar Rovo Lokashia, Ho Livnei Maso, Ho Liyasuvi Maso. There are two categories. There's one category called Bnei Maso or Bnei Ho'ir, and there's another category called Yoshve Ho'ir. Kedesanya, and the difference between these categories will be illustrated in the following source. Hamudar Hano Me'an Sho'ir. A person who forswears receiving benefit. He, through a neder, he says he doesn't want to receive benefit through a vow. He doesn't receive benefit from a category called Ansheo Ir. Kol she nishtah sham shneimos or chodesh osu lenos mimeno. Pachos mikan muter. Any person in that city that has been there, has dwelt there for 12 months, we also for this gentleman to benefit from. But someone who's dwelt there less than that, he is able to benefit, because he used the expression Anshe'ir. However, Mi Yoshve'ir, if he said he was Mudur Hanah from this category called Yoshve'ir, Kol Shenishtasham Shloshim Yom Osu Lenus Menu, Pachs Mikan Mutu Lenus Menu. Here, the standard is a 30-day standard. So you see that Halacha recognizes different terms, different phrases referring to different types of people. There's a Yoshve'ir, there's Anshe'ir. So there's no stira with what we have said before. As far as the Mishnah is concerned, contribution to city walls, that requires a person to have dwelt there 12 months, to become part of a city of Ir HaNidachas and then suffer the consequences of being a member of a population that was involved with idolatry. That's a 30-day standard. The Gemara asks, "Ulechol mili mi ba'inon yud beis chodesh." We'll take a look at Rashi. Ulechol mili umekami hachi, and prior to this, the 12 months, lo yohiv midi im b'nei ha'ir. Let's leave Ir HaNidachas aside. As far as payments are concerned, what have we seen? The 12 months. If you're there 12 months, then you contribute to the municipal payments. If you're less than 12 months, we would assume, and that's what we're assuming now, for other matters, no payment is necessary. On that, the Gemara is asking, Ulechol mili, for all kinds of payments, mi bo'inon yud beis chodesh, is it necessary to be there 12 months? And lifnechen, we wrote in between the lines, ulifnechen lo yitein klum, and prior to that, he doesn't have to pay anything. V'hotanya, we have the following Tanaic source, and once again, you can see it's framed off. Different types of payments will be referenced in this source, and you'll see that there's a different standard. It's not necessarily 12 months. Shloshim yom letamchui. If a person dwelt in the community for 30 days, he will have to contribute to the tamchui. Shloisha chadoshim lekupa. If he dwelt there 3 months, then he pays toward the community chest, a kupa. Shisha leksus. 6 months, he has to contribute to the clothing fund. Tisha l'kvura. If he dwelt there 9 months, he pays for cemetery expenses. Shnei mosar l'paseo ir. There's a little lamed that directs us to the Mesoras HaShas, which is found in the upper right-hand corner of the Omid. And he explains that paseo ir is kroshe eitz l'chazek sha'arei ha'ir. There are beams, wooden beams, that are to strengthen the city gates. So if he dwells there 12 months, then he pays for the city gates expenses. The question has been raised. We assume from our Mishnah that municipal payments are made only after you dwelt there 12 months. Here we have a source that has all kinds of other payments that are made prior to 12 months. Omar of Asi, Omar of Yochanan, Ki Tna Nami Mas Nisan Shnei Mosar Chodesh. Our Mishnah that taught 12 months, l'pasio ir tnan, it in fact is referring to the pasio ir payment. So what was the pasio ir payment? It was for the gates, the city gates, and how much time is necessary for that? In fact, 12 months. And that's why we dot underlined earlier on the line, shnei mosor l'pasio, so that you see that the 12 months is parallel to the 12 months of the Mishnah. The Omar of Asiyam Rav Yochanan, Hakol Pasir Afilu Miyasmi. Everyone has to contribute to the Pasir, even the Yesoimim, Avo Rabbonon Lo. Why? The Rabbonon Lo Tzrichi Netirusa. The Rabbonon don't need guarding. They don't need the protection that the wall is designed to afford. Omar of Papa, Leshura Uleparsha Uletarzina. Shura is payments made for wall repairs. Parsha is payment made for we can call him a mobile guard. He's a fellow that is a parash, is someone that rides a horse. He rides on the horse, surveys the city to see what's needed by way of protection matters. Tarzina is someone who is in charge of the armory, the municipal armory. All of these people are paid for by the community, including Yisaimim. Avol Rabbanon lo tzrichin etirusa. All of these payments had to do with protection. and they don't need the protection that's afforded by these elements. They have their Torah. Klolo de milsa, the rule that we see, kol milsa de islihu hano mine, afilu miasmi. Payments that yield in benefit to those who paid, so payments like that that yield benefit, even Yisomim have to contribute. On the side, we have noted a nosei, ma goivim Yisomim, what is collected from Yisomim, and we just made reference to that. And the second topic here will be pidyon shvuyim nechshav mitzvah rabba, that redemption of captives is considered a great mitzvah. Rabba Rama Tzedaka Ayasmi Debei Bar Merion. Rabba placed a Tzedaka tax. Now, Tzedaka, you think about it, is that something on a physical level? Is that something the Yisomim will benefit from? No. It's not like a payment for digging water supplies or a protection that they themselves benefit from. It's a nice thing, of course. It's a wonderful mitzvah, but it's on an immediate physical level, it's not something that they benefit from. But Rabba nonetheless placed stoka tax on the Yisomim of the Bei Bar Merion family. There were children that were orphans from that family. Amale Abaye, Votani Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Ein Poiskin Stoka Al HaYisomim Afilu Lepidyoin Shvuyim. We don't tax Yisomim stoka taxes, even if that money is going to be used for redeeming captives. Amale, so Rabba answered, Ano, I, that chose to tax them, la'achshuvinhu ko avidna. I imposed a tax on them to create a sense of importance that they're being taxed like everyone else. It would create a sense of importance that they will benefit from in the community. Ifra Hormis, the name of a woman, Ime de Shavur Malka, she was the queen mother of the Shavur Malka, the Persian monarch. Shadra Arnika de Dinri Lekami de Rav Yosef. She sent a pouch of money to Rav Yosef, Omra, and she declared, Leve le mitzvah rabba, let it be for a great mitzvah. Ifra Hormis is a personality that's found in other Gemaras in the Shas as well. Yosef, Rav Yosef, the Koma'ayin Ba. Rav Yosef investigated my mitzvah rabba. What's considered that, a mitzvah rabba? Amale Abaye. Abaye answered, he said, Midatani Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Ein Poiskin Stoka Yisomim, Afilu Lepidyon Shvuyim. That you don't impose Stoka taxes on Yisomim, even for the redemption of captives. So you can infer from this, Shma Mino Pidyon Shvuyim Mitzvah Rabba Hi. That would be a mitzvah rabba. From the expression, even for that, that would show that that's very significant. Amalei Rava, the Rava Bar Mori, Minoha Milsid Yom Rabbonan, the Pidyon Shvuyim Mitzvah Rabbahi. That's the basis of the Rabbonan claiming that Pidyon Shvuyim is a Mitzvah Rabbah. What's the basis of that? So on the side of our Gemara, on the outside, we've called this Nosei here, Lohochiach, the Pidyon Shvuyim Mitzvah Rabbah. That's going to be our job now to prove that Pidyon Shvuyim is a Mitzvah Rabbah, and you see a long marking, a tuf, that's tshuva, an answer. It's an answer to the question of from where do the rabbanan know that it's a mitzvah rabba. And in this marking indicates that it will take all of these lines, will be involved in proving that point. So Rabba Bar Mori answers, Omar Le, Dichtiv, V'hoyo ki yomru eilecha. Ono neitze v'yamarta aleim ko amar Hashem asher la moves la moves v'asher la cherev la cherev v'asher lo ro'ov lo ro'ov v'asher la shvi la shevi. There are a number of sufferings that are mentioned in this pasuk. V'yomer Rav Yochanan kol amuucher b'pasuk ze koshem echavero. That which appears later in the pasuk is considered a tougher experience than that which is mentioned earlier. So if we look at our markings, you can see now a series of double underlines. And on the outside of the margin, it says there, it says, Lahavlit shekol habo achrov v'posu kosha mikodmo, to prove that point. And here we go. Cherev kosha mimovis. The first type of suffering mentioned in the posuk was natural death, if you will, as death as opposed to being killed by the cherev, by the sword. So cherev is more troublesome, more of a suffering than, more negative than moves. I boyesei mokra, vi boyesei mosvara. I can provide a posuk to prove that, and I can provide a piece of logic to prove that. Notice the order here. The Gemara suggests that in the introduction, first a posuk, and then svara. But when as the Gemara presents the facts, it presents the second point first. It says e boy same as svara, and that's why the lettering is, as you see in the Shas Ozir edition, we called it Aleph Beis. Now Beis appears first because the Gemara responds to the svara inquiry first. So e boy same as svara, high ka minvil, the high low ka minvil. The cherev death results in disgust. The Rabbeinu Gershom addresses this on the very beginning of his commentary on the outside of your margin. Nerag v'cherev minvel de mislachlech b'domo. He's filthy by the blood. The pierced body. The blood flows forth, gushes forth. And, as opposed to simple death, that doesn't happen. V'boy seim okra, and I can also provide a pasuk to prove that cherev is worse. That death that's called simple death is better, and where do we see that? Yokor bnei Hashem hamovasa lachasidav. Movasa is moves. Moves is considered the best, if you will, and that the ones who experience that are the chasidim, the pious ones. When they have to go, they'll go through moves as opposed to something worse. Continuing in the list. Rav kasha micherev. We mentioned cherev was worse than death, but rav, death through starvation, is worse. Ibo yisema svara, hai komitztayer, v'hai lo komitztayer. The death through sword is instant. The death through rav is through suffering. It's lengthy suffering. That's the mitztayer. Ibo yisema kra, toivim hoyu chalalei cherev, mei chalalei rav. Better are those that are killed through the cherev, that become a halal as a corpse, becomes one that becomes dead through cherev as opposed to rav. Shevi kosha mikulam, and captivity is worse than all of these experiences. Why is that? Dekul hu isnuhu bay. All of the things could happen in the case of captivity. And Rashi explains at the very top, Shevi kulu isnuhu bay, shu biyad Ove koychovim umazolos, he's in the hands of the heathens. Lasos bo kol chepso im lamoves, im lacherev, im larov, they can do anything to him. So that's what makes Shevi worst of all. On the side, we now see something that is not usual. We see a nosei klali, a general topic that happens to be very long. That's what my intent by saying not very usual, but a singular topic that lasts till Yud, in this case, till Yud Aleph Omid Aleph. And it's in one word, stoka. The immediate topic, v'nose, we have listed here, number one, hevdelim bein kupo shel stoka letamchui, the difference between kupo and tamchui. We saw these referenced on Omid Aleph. We didn't explain, knowing that the Gemara would deal with it at this point. And number two, takonos shirashoyim b'nei ho'ir l'takein b'nyone momon. Different types of rules, behaviors that the community can impose in monetary matters. Tona Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source. There's a lot of underlining that takes place in the Tanaic source. And all the terms that are underlined, you'll see a reference to the different types of the kupa versus the tamchui. Kupa shel tzedaka, what characterizes the kupa? Nigveis bishnayim u'mischalekes bishlosha. The collection is done by two people. Two people go around town collecting for it. And the division of the money, when it's divided out, that's done in the presence of three. Explanation. And you notice we had Aleph and Beis, and now we go over them, and hence that's why you have the Aleph over here, and the Beis a couple lines later to explain the two points. Nigveis bishnayim she'ein oisin srorus al hatzibur pochos mishnayim. That acts of authority, srorus comes with the word sar, a minister. In this case, the acts of authority are not imposed on the public with less than two people in charge. Umishalekis bishlosha kedine momenos, just like dine momenos matters, courts of law dealing with monetary matters are with three. This also is an issue of monetary matters. Three. Okay. Tamchui, as opposed to the Kupa Shel Tzedakah, Nigveis Bishlosha, Mischalekes Bishlosha. Why is that? Why do you have three at the point of collection? The reason is, Shegvuya V'chaluka Shovim, that the collection and the dispersion, the distribution, happen together. Meaning that it's a type of daily collection and a daily distribution, so as not to trouble them after, let's say, collect, if they had collected with two, then they have to go search for a third guy before they can start distributing, have all the elements in place already at the beginning. Other distinctions. Tamchui b'chol yom. That is in accordance with what we just explained. It's a daily collection. We said it a daily distribution. Kupa me'erev Shabbos le'erev Shabbos. It's a weekly affair. Tamchui La'aniyei Oilam. The Tamchui collection is distributed to people from outside the city as well. Kupa La'aniyei Ha'ir. The Kupa is restricted to local Aniyim. V'rashoyim v'nei Ha'ir la'asos Kupa Tamchui v'tamchui Kupa l'shanosu l'chol ma'ashiyirtzu. The community can agree to change the funds from one chest to another, and they can decide to use it for whatever they want, of a community nature. In other words, the community can decide to use it for whatever they want. The Rashoyim b'nei Ha'ir lahasnoi sal hamidos v'al ha'shorim v'al schar poalim u'lahasiyah al kitzosan. The community can also make conditions regarding measures and prices, midos, or measures and shorim prices, and wages, schar poalim, and lasia al kitzoson, they can impose fines on anyone who violates their takonas. That's the source. The Gemara will now make references to points just mentioned. Omar Mar, Ein ois and sroos al hatzibur pochos mishnayim. If anyone has trouble finding where that comes from, there are arrows on the side to benefit you. Minohani Mili, what's the basis of saying that Sroros is done with a minimum of two? Acts of authority must be by two. Omar Rav Nachman Makro, Vehem Yikhu Es Hazahav. Right, in the collection for the construction of the Mishkan, says that they will collect, plural. Right, so plural is they will collect. The Gemara is medayik, makes an inference from what we've said, sroros hu delo avdi, less than two, so there's no sroros, ha heimune mehemon. However, we can entrust, it's not we're not dealing with an act of authority, but rather someone to be trusted with the funds, to watch the funds, to hold on to them. That can be done by a singular person as well. This supports Rabbi Chanina, who said, "Maise umino Rebbe shnei achin al hakupa." There's a little trick here. It says two brothers. However, in matters of ne'emonus, two brothers are considered like one. In other words, let's say you had an issue of witnessing or something, and two brothers come up. It's not considered two witnesses. Two brothers are not considered any more than one in matters of ne'emonus. My Srorusa, what's the act of authority that is associated with the kupa? If you're going around collecting money, where do you see authority illustrated? The Yomar of Nachman of Rabba Bar Avua Lafi, Shemim Mashkinin Al Hatzdaka. People who don't want to pay tzedakah, we can take from them collateral. The Afilu Berev Shabbos. Even on the busy, troubled Fridays that everyone knows what's involved in getting ready for Shabbos, even on such a day, even Erev Shabbos, the Gabbai Tzedokah can come, or the two of them, to be more accurate, come and take collateral. Rashi explains a little further, Afilu Berev Shabbos, almost halfway down, he says, Sheyesh Pischon Pele Balabais Lomar Torah Dani, where even though the Balabais has a type of excuse, hey, I can't pay you right now, I'm Torud. The Gaboyim can say, oh, you can't pay us right now, so they take from him. They can take by force. They can take collateral. That's the act of authority. Moore asks, Eini, is that so, that they can impose pressure on people? V'hoksivu fokadeti al kol lo chatzov. V'yomar av Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta v'shmei derav afilu al gaboy tzedoka. The Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I will punish all those that apply lachatz, all those that apply pressure, even the Gaboy Tzedokah. So we see that Gaboy Tzedokah should not be involved in pressure tactics. So how can you tell me that it's something that's legitimate? Lo kashya. Ha de omid, ha de lo omid. Depends on who the victim is, so to speak. If the person being collected from is wealthy, he's omid, he has the wherewithal to pay, so apply pressure. If, however, he doesn't have the wherewithal and you apply pressure, that's what the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, and he will visit the punishment upon the lochatzim. Kiha de rova, achbe le rav noson bar ami, an illustration of application of pressure when someone has the money is where Rava collected from Rav Noson Bar Ami v'shokel mine arba mea zuzi l'tzedokah and took from him 400 zuz, which is a lot of money for tzedokah. And the word achbe indicates force. So you see that it's legitimate when it comes to someone who can afford it. On the outside of our page, the Nosei, Shvachim ha-ne'morim al praises that are said on the following personalities, Gaboy tzedokah, Lalamdei tinoikos, dayonim, tamidei chachomim. So we bring a pasuk from Daniel, and we're going to have a couple sections of the pasuk referred to here, and they're underlined to make it stand out a little bit better. Bahamaskilim yaziru kezoar rakia. The maskilim will shine forth like the glow of heaven. Ze dayon shedon din emes lamito. That refers to a judge who practices his profession, who judges properly. Umatzdike harabim kekoychovim loylom voed. Who are the matzdike harabim referred to? Elu gaboy tzedokah. And they will sparkle like the stars. The masnisa tana, in a Tanaic source, we have the same posuk darshan with a slightly different reference. V'hamaskilim yaziru kezoro kia ze dayon shedon din emes la'amito v'gaboi tzedokah. This is the difference between the previous drosha. U'matzdike harabim kekoychovim lo lavoed. This is new. Elu melamdei tinoikos. Those who teach children. Kegon man, who's an example of that? Who is the melamdei tinoikos that might be referred to as the stars of the heaven? Kegon man, Omar Rav, Kegon Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas. And a little story to illustrate his dedication. The Rav Ashkechei the Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas Dave Koi Beginsa. Rav found Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas standing in his vegetable patch. Omar Le Shavkisei Lehem Nusach. Have you left your Hemnusach, your trust, meaning if you left the kids, he was entrusted, he was teaching children. Have you left them? Rashi says, Shavkisei Lehemnusach, Shoyisa Rogil Lelamdom Be'emuna. He taught them with emuna, with the trustworthiness. Ulelameid Veleshev Al Gabom Tomid. Oh, you're always with them. What are you doing in the vegetable patch? Amar Lei. So Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas reveals to Rav, he says, Hotleisar Shonin Delo Chazioli. It's been 13 years since I've been here. Vahashtonami Datoyolayu. And even as I stand here now, my mind is on the children. Gemara asks, V'rabonon Mai. we've described the praises of Dayonim, of Gaboi Tzedaka, of Malamdei Tinoikos. What about Talmidei Chachomim that are Oisek the Torah Tomid? What's said about them? Omer Avina v'Oyhavov Ketzeis Hashemesh b'Gvuraso. They're like the sun shining forth in its full glory. Tana Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source, and on the outside, we have a description of what we're about to see. Hanhogos ruuyos legaboy tzedaka b'shas kviyosan. Proper behavior on the part of gaboy tzedaka while at the time they're making the collection. Gaboy tzedaka, we say Tana Rabbanan. Gaboy tzedaka einon rashoyim lifrosh ze mize. When they're making the collections, they have to be together. They can't separate from one another. Avol poresh ze l'shar v'ze l'chanus. Sounds like a contradiction, but Rashi explains they can form distance between themselves, provided they have eye shot of one another. That's one can go to the city gate and one to a store, but still remain in eye shot. In other words, the idea of they're not being allowed to separate doesn't mean they have to walk hand in hand. They can distance themselves, provided they remain in eyeshot. Motza mo'os bashuk. Imagine the gabbai tzedaka finds money lying on the floor. Lo yitneim besoch kiso. He shouldn't put it in his own pocket. Ela noisan letoch arniki shel tzedaka. He should put it in the pouch, in the collection box. Uchshiyovo lebeiso yitneim. And then when he gets home, then he can take it and put it in his pocket, so to speak. The point being that if he's seen in public putting money into his own pocket, people will think that he's pocketing tzedakah collections. Kayotze bo, a similar idea. Hoya noishe b'chavero mona. The gabbai tzedakah happens to have extended a loan to someone once and was trying to collect the loan that he extended. Uporo bashuk. And the borrower paid back his loan in a public area, in the shuk. Lo yitnenu losoch kisala nosnon. The same practice. He shouldn't take the loan that he just put and put in his pocket, but rather wait till he gets home. Tanu Rabbanan. Gaboi tzedaka. We've underlined gaboi tzedaka. The next line, see gaboi tamchui to contrast them. It says gaboi tzedaka she'ein lohem aniim lechalek. Say they collected money and there are no aniim around to divide the money. Now, what they collected generally for tzedakah, you can assume in certain countries in America, they would say nickels and dimes. More accurately, if we continue the American analogy, it would be pennies. Why do I say that? Because currency, the cheap currency, where it was copper. Copper has a shelf life to it, as opposed to other metals, silver, gold. And the copper corrodes, oxidizes, or what have you. Being not a chemist, I don't find the right expression. But what happens if you collected a lot of copper coinage and don't have to whom to distribute? So the source says, "Portin la'achirim vein portin la'atzman." We'll take a look at Rashi. Portin, prutos shegavu lokhin dinore kesef lefi sha prutos shel nechoshes machlidos. They change the money. They take the copper currency, change it to silver, and the reason for that is that the prutos machlidos. I mean, they rust. What is the source instructing the gaboi tzedaka, saying that do the exchange with others, not. Don't go home and take your own copper, take your own silver and exchange it for the copper that you collected. You know, it would appear they could be suspect of having given themselves a good deal, so to speak. So to avoid that, the exchange is done with outsiders. gavoy tamchui shenem aniyim lechalek. The gavoy tamchui, when they made the collections, and we didn't mention this before, they made a food collection. It was the daily collection of food. So let's say they collected food and they didn't have to whom to distribute the food. So mochrin lachirim, they mochrin latzmon. They should sell the food to others, not sell it to themselves, so to speak, because if they sell themselves, again, they'll be suspect of giving themselves a good deal, too good a deal. Mois shel tzedoka ein moinin oison shtayim shtayim elo achas achas. Rashi. Ein monin oson shnayim shnayim pen yomru shnayim hu notel v'eino moneh elo echad. People will think that he collected two, but he's only counting them out as one by one. Another level of explanation you'll find at the bottom of the page in the Rabbeinu Gershom. Ein monin oson shtayim shtayim kishepurtin lachirim. When the exchange is done, when this, we made reference to a money exchange, the copper is exchanged for silver. When he does that, he shouldn't count 2, 4, 6, 8, and just move two coins along in order to count up how much he should get in exchange. Elamone achas achas shelo yite. Slightly different explanation than Rashi gave. Shelo yite, so you shouldn't make a mistake. It's a more sure, a short counting if you go 1, 2, 3. The Gemara continues. There's a double underline, you see, and the reason for that, it's mentioned on the outside, the Mivneh. Abaye mita'er hanagoysov shel Rabo. Abaye describes the practices of Rabo. Rabo will appear in the Gemara by the term mor. Omar Abaye, meresh lo havi Yosef mor at sifi de beknishta mor. It's a reference to Rabo. At the beginning, before he changed his practice, initially he would not sit on the shul mats or carpets or rugs. The Rashi explains atzifi de beknishta at the end. He says machzolos, those are mats shel beis haknesses. He wouldn't sit on them. Mishum de mezavni lehu mimos hakupa, the money that was collected for the aniyim, that money was used for buying these mats. He felt it was improper. We'll take a look at the Rabbeinu Gershom, the very bottom, Atzife, Amachzolos Sheporsin al Kosle Beis HaKnesses Vayoknios Mitzdoka. These are mats, and I've seen shuls that have their walls decorated with rugs, and he would not sit on those rugs because they were bought with tzedakah money. That's money designed for giving to the poor, not for buying decorations for shuls. The Gemara goes on. However, kevon deshama laha desanya, when Rabba discovered the brisa that says uleshanoise lechol ma sheyirtzu, have Yosef. This source should be familiar. If it's not, we can benefit from the markings. You notice there's an asterisk at the side between the Gemara and the Tosfos. That says, let your eye scan the page and find a parallel asterisk. And if you do, you will find on that line, when the Brisa was describing the collection of the Kupa, and the people of the town can do with the Kupa, and they can convert it into a Tamchui, it also said, Ulushanos lechomashi yirtzu. So the community can decide what the monies are used for. So in this case, the community apparently decided that the tzedakah money should be used for buying mats for the shul. Hence, it's a legitimate expenditure. Hence, he could sit on them. Omar Abaye, Meresh Havi Ovid Mor Tre Kisi. Initially, Rabba made two separate pouches for collections. Chad Laniyeh De Almo V'chad Laniyeh De Masa. One for the local aniyim and one for aniyim d'alma, the aniyim from out of town. Keva deshama lahadim or lei Shmuel leRav Tachlifa bar Avdimi. When he heard what Shmuel said to Rav Tachlifa, Ovid chad kiso ve'asni Allah. All you have to do is make one pouch and make a tnai, make a condition concerning it. And the what's the condition? The condition being that as I collect your money, he said, the gabbai would say, as I collect your money, I reserve the right to collect and distribute to whoever comes. And that would be done with the agreement of the community. That can be done. So, Ihu Nami, Rabbo himself, Ovad Chad Kisa V'Asni Allah, he made one kiss and attached this condition to his collections, enabling him to distribute to whomever he wants. Ravashi Omar, Ano Asnuye Nami Lo Tzarichna. I don't have to even make a tanai. Dechol Deko Osi, Adaito Didi Osi. That anyone who comes to me to give money, they come with the intention that I would use it for whomever I would desire. That's Ulaman Deboino Yohiv Nole, and to whomever I would want to give, I would give. Notice the words Boino, we've discussed this on previous occasions, the no at the end of the word is ano, I. Boi, want. I want. And Yohivna, the same construction, Yohiv ano. Yohiv is to give, I give. Whomever I want, I would give. With that, we've concluded today's shir. Mitzvah Shem, next time, we'll start Daf Tes Omid Aleph.